Yes, sir. People say we would have made it back, but we did.
That's the return.
You know, we're in front of a live studio audience. Yep. You know, we got a couple of, you know, rabbits,
maybe a couple crickets. Hopefully there's a couple mice out there, you know.
I saw a dog peeing on my lawn.
That's right. Because this is the Early Evening Garage Podcast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Modern day philosophy episode. Who really cares, bro? Because as long as you're expanding your mind, this could be episode one for some. This could be episode 100.
This could be an infinite continuation.
Right.
Of the experience of human critical thinking.
Right. Mmm. Wow. I like that, bro. Wow. I like that.
And this is just our simple, humble contribution.
Right. That's all it is. That's all it is. Anyway, pretty much, it's been a while since we've done one of these. I want to say it's almost been like a year. So we can give you a little update, especially one that I'm actually speaking on it because I'm usually interviewing someone. But I'm trying to bring it back to a point where me or even me and Kaz, or I guess more correctly would be Kaz and I, or like Kaz, I, Samir, or whatever, can talk about subjects that pertains to our lives and kind of use it as like a personal journal, and you guys are along with the ride, and I'm guessing some of you guys will
perhaps identify
with us, subject matter. Right, because we're just two bros trying to make it, bro. We're mm-hmm. just two bros trying to make it.
As many of you are as well.
Right, so I'm happy to be back. I'm trying to do this more, and you know, get your seatbelt on because we on a journey, you know what I'm saying? We gonna go on this journey. Anyway, I won't even bother y'all with the extra, but just know, I don't work at Target no more. I work at a clothing brand in LA called Market, and Casper's still laying down the wood.
That's right, laying wood. I had his
wood job,
and putting in the screws, getting it down. You know what I mean?
Right,
and that's what I do.
Right, he has a Harley now.
Yeah, I do ride a motorcycle.
Right.
I'll try to keep that subject matter out of the podcast, considering it is now my personality.
Okay. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. We're just trying to make it, so, I mean, the grind never stops. But, so the reason why we're doing this podcast is because, well, first we'll introduce the book that you read. And then we'll explain what brought you to get to that book, like what made you even read it. And then you will go into the contents of the book.
Oh, right.
Right.
So, recently, I discovered a little book in my I drive a lot for work, and I like to use Audible. Please sponsor this podcast.
Audible, please sponsor us. We love you, man.
They have a wonderful selection, and I recently finished Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. Highly recommend. It's a beautiful book.
Wow.
After, you know, going through that, I like to hear the stories. I feel like this is a common thing amongst young men. And, you know, you try to find older men that are in the same or similar position to where you'd like to be, right?
Right.
And, you know, you try to get as much information out of those people as you can. So I thought Matthew McConaughey, you know, why not? Let's see what's going on with this guy. Wonderful book. But after that, then I said, you know, I wonder what, you know, who else's story could I get? And, while looking for, you know, male author biographies and or self-help books, I came across this book called The Art of Man.
The Art of Man?
The Art of Man.
The Art of Man.
That is right. It sounds like a lot, and it's a little, you know, on the heavy side for the narration.
Right.
You know, a little bit serious. He takes himself a bit seriously. Yeah, it's fine, as you should with anything that you're passionate about.
Right.
But going through this book, I found that it laid out a lot of interesting, they're almost like archetypal type value sets for, you know, what a man should be,
right,
in a more primal evolutionary sense. And I saw it as a book that lays it out pretty clearly, and then you can kind of decipher that information any way you see fit.
Right. Before I let you go on, number one, do we have a author name?
Yes, Yes, it is a Jack Donovan.
Jack Donovan.
Jack Donovan.
Jack Donovan, if you're watching this, please sponsor us, man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll have you on the podcast.
We'll have you on the podcast.
It'll be great.
Also, what is there a reason why, because the Art of Man, like you said, the title was so, like, in your face, like, mm-hmm. Art of Man.
Yeah.
So what drove you to pick up, like, get a book like that, you know what I'm saying?
So I always like to get things down, you know, not to make them too simplistic, but I think we try to get things from the root, at least at some point before we get to the more nuanced subject matter. Mm-hmm. And so I was listening to some of the other books that are just a more nuanced and a lot of weird terminology that wasn't really hitting the way I thought it would. So when I read that this book was, you know, in the summary or whatever, that it was more about the primal aspect, I've always been interested in anthropology as a subject. And so I thought, you know, maybe I'll give this a try. You know, let's go to the roots of what it means to be a man and how you maybe you should use your own evolutionary background to try to pursue said, you know, whatever your goals are in life.
Try
to build it around that framework.
Right.
So currently I've been in a position where I've just been, you know, we're all on our own personal journey of self-improvement.
Right.
So I felt that I've hit a point of stagnation, and a lot of it came from a feeling of a lack of motivation,
right,
and or ambition,
mm.
or the way I like to see it is it's episodic ambition and or motivation. So I was trying to figure out what was making
Hold on real quick, brother. Explain that. What episodic?
So I like to see it like a chronic condition.
Interesting.
So there's times, you know, in your life, which I think is a common trope, is people, they want to pursue these goals in their life. And maybe you've had these ideas in your head for a decade.
Right.
Maybe 5 years, maybe just a week.
Right.
But you talk about it to yourself and you mull it over in your head. Maybe you think about it every time before you go to sleep at night.
Right.
Every day you wake up. But maybe your motivation to pursue that isn't always at the same level.
Mm.
So I was trying to figure out what can I do, because I have some of the same goals.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to motivate myself to pursue these goals to their fullest extent at a rate which I can consider consistent rather than sporadic?
Gotcha.
Because you don't see results without consistency.
Right.
And of course, you know, there's the whole doing it every day kind of thing and forcing yourself to do it. And that's a large part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was to decipher why those goals are what they are,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not they're actually what you really want. And just kind of going through that and then trying to maybe mitigate error, you know, rather than having to experience it trial through error kind of thing.
Got you.
So I was feeling like, you know, I was kind of trying to establish, okay, so what is it, what do I need to feed in my soul and in who I am to make myself feel like I can handle these goals and or pursue them, you know, and that they're the right goals for me.
Right.
So I found this book, and you know, I think that the book was interesting in the sense that it was a take that you wouldn't expect in today's world. This book was released in 2012, which is rather recent in comparison to the current political climate surrounding the word masculinity. And it was definitely more on a like right-winged, like far side. So make of that what you will. But right. Of course, here on this podcast, we're open to
anything.
Receiving any information
right.
possible.
Anything that helps you get to your goal,
yeah.
if it's evil or not evil, if that's even a real thing.
Yeah.
It's just about if it helps you to your goal. We
You're willing to take that information in.
Right, right.
And whether or not you want to accept it, use it, digest it, you know, maybe break it down, categorize it, you know, yeah, manipulate it or modify it.
Right.
We're all open to that here.
Right.
So I figured, you know, why not? So I gave this book a listen, and I have to tell you, I found it rather enthralling. Just to make it plain and simple.
Okay.
So this book, Jack Donovan brings up, you know, he talks originally about what was their basic structure of a hierarchy of men back in the day. Why was it that way? And, you know, what was the strength of that? So he talks about how tribes were formed as humans normally do. We are social creatures.
Right.
And when you have a tribe that, you know, you're trying to seek survival in this sense. Again, we're talking evolutionarily. You know, you grade the values of the members of that tribe. Again, this book's only about men mostly, so right. Women is very seldom mentioned.
The bench is right there, Sid. I'm just kidding. We love you. We love women here. So, but I mean, it's the book that he read, so that's what we're talking about. So
yeah,
it's called Art of Man.
Which, frankly, I did enjoy that it wasn't. You know, I feel like there were some books that are about masculinity that delve into what femininity should be and what women should do, and I don't think that's right. The place, especially of a male author. So keeping it just about men, I found fitting. But the so he talks about how, you know, in a tribe, we all have designated roles based on the strengths that we have. And the four main judgment, kind of like a rubric that he established, that in this book, he believes, which I believe to a degree, but I think it is up to debate, that they are instinctual, evolutionary, perceptions that every man holds in regards to passing judgment on another man.
Right.
And these four main values are strength, courage, mastery, and honor. Mm. So He refers to them as tactical virtues,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, in a definition kind of way makes total sense because it's all about decision making and
right.
They're virtues there's things you strive for in your life.
Mm.
And the first one, strength, I do think was not the most controversial, but it's one of the most controversial because this speaks on strength as a force of nature
right.
in a man, and that in the sense of the tribe, your tribe is your priority.
Right.
So in reference to all these subjects, it is in reference to a tribe. Now what your tribe is could be many different things.
Right.
And he talks about establishing a tribe in that, which is something that I found really compelling because it's true. It's what we do. It's your friend group.
Right.
It's your family. It's whoever you include with your trust. And who you would lay down your life for and or your time for. And so the first one, strength, was something that I found inspiring due to the fact that it talks about the importance of a man to seek strength in himself, which I think is something that, you know, a lot of guys will find themselves at some point in their life.
Right.
You know, as far as like going to the gym and stuff like that in the more physical sense,
mm-hmm.
but also in just finding yourself, it's part of growing up. You know, you have to have the strength to say no to, you know, requests by maybe your family or your parents,
mm-hmm.
or your friends, your boss, whatever. It's about having the strength to direct your own life in whatever direction you want to go. So that was definitely a really inspiring topic when it came to the decision-making aspect, because I do feel that in all of our lives, you will have somebody that tries to steer you in whatever direction it is, whether it's malicious or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to have the strength to see that, to pass judgment and make your own decisions for yourself.
All right.
And I think that, you know, you can draw this comparison into a lot of things in your life, as far as for me, it's been maybe about work choice, mm-hmm. maybe about time,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you dictate your time, and then also about protecting those that you love and care about in your tribe, and trying to build up the strength in what you consider your tribe, because, you know, that's what should truly matter to you, and that's what you have capability to actually have, like, you're capable of influencing that.
Right.
So strength was an interesting one. Now the second one being, courage. Courage is one that I think everybody should read personally.
Why do you say that?
It goes hand in hand with strength.
Okay,
of course.
That makes
sense, courage
yeah.
talks about, you know, the courage to make hard decisions
right.
and all that, just like strength. But, and the book, in reference to the book, he talks about courage in the sense of, you know, you have to have the courage to make these decisions and to challenge other people in your life to get what you want.
Right.
But this is where the book, to me, becomes a little more controversial. And I found this an interesting subject, and I want your opinion on it.
Right.
The idea of courage in the sense of a tribe is that you have to have the courage to make decisions that are perhaps even a threat to another tribe. And or the decision, you know, to maybe even bring threats towards you, you know, or make things that are risky, that make decisions that are risky that would put you in harm's way, and having the courage to do so for the betterment of your tribe. And this will tie into honor, of course, but I do think that his idea of a more offensive approach to courage, because a lot of times in today's world we see courage as being something that when you're called upon, you rise,
right,
you know, to the occasion. And that's half of it.
Right.
But the other half is essentially, you know, calling upon the world to come to you. So to kind of get into that, it'd be kind of like pursuing things in a more offensive sense of taking what you want, or, you know, making things happen that maybe they weren't granted to you, but it's more of the sense of, this is where it becomes really important in the book, is the tribal sense of it. So you have to kind of pass a judgment on who's your tribe and who is not your tribe.
All right.
Or gang, or whatever his terminology is. And that is crucial, because then when people are no longer a part of your tribe, to take, or, you know, take advantage of, or do some of these things that are more dirty ideas, become okay, as long as it's not towards your tribe.
That is, let me really think about that one.
Yeah. That's the one that, you know, that's the one that gets a little spicy.
Right, you know? Right. That one a little fuego, a little caliente.
I found the funny part about it is that it's true. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that would do.
Yeah.
You know, that, well, comes to like the railroad track,
right,
thing. You know, if your mom's on one track,
right,
and you have three innocent people on the other track that you don't know.
Yeah.
Which way you send in the train?
To the three innocent people.
Most likely, yeah. Right? Because they're not your tribe. So it plays on your nature.
Right.
And so, but his idea is that you don't fight the thoughts that are like that. You embrace them.
I think people do that a lot more than we think, but they don't want to
admit it. Yeah.
Because I know damn well, like, if worse comes to worse, if someone asks me for something that, like, or I need to get something for one of the people I care about, I'm for sure going to do some outlandish shit to get to who I care about, like, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people do that. I mean, hell.
Well, especially think about when you're young, if you have friends that have beef with somebody, maybe, right, you know nothing about it.
Right.
If someone's bringing the hands out.
Right. You know. Yeah, yeah, you hopping in.
Yeah.
If you don't hop in, you ain't really gang.
Yeah.
Which means you wouldn't be in the clan.
And the tribe.
And the tribe, yep. Which means you gotta go.
Yeah. Because then the distrust is there.
Right.
It's a dishonorable act.
Right. It
shows a lack of courage.
Right.
All principles that he talks about. So I found that interesting in that sense, of course, because it sounds bad when you first hear it. Mm-hmm. But then once you get to the meat of it, then you realize, and that's kind of a common theme in this book, is that you're already doing it.
Right. You don't realize it.
So the idea is to embrace it because, you know, it's already within your nature. And, of course, in this world, in this life, it's not going to be easy to you. And you have to stand up for those that are around you. And also as an inspiration, or kind of like a, you know, maybe a judge or whatever on who you want to keep in your tribe, you have to be able to judge these characteristics in the people around you. So what I took from it personally was that, you know, to lean on your tribe, because we all need help.
Right.
And that's another subject that he talks about that I really don't think needs much time, because it's foolish to believe it.
Yeah.
But something of the rogue man, independent,
right,
doesn't need help, and all that common action movie trope and all that.
Right.
The John Wick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even John Wick needs help. Is the example, you know.
Right.
And so to establish that, you know, you're no longer placing your value into a wider range of people. Whether it be like your country or your peers or whatever, and more so putting your tribe first, then you can start to establish stronger bonds to pursue your goals without so much pushback in your mind about the ramifications for other people around you.
Right.
Because I feel like that's something that's applied to people, or to the mentality of success. Because I feel like that's something that's applied with the pursuit of success and, you know, in many different other, you know, ideologies, that when you bother yourself too much with the opinions of others, it definitely is problematic, of course, because then you're living for someone else. So I thought it was a good way to approach it, because, you know, a lot of books will tell you that, but they don't try to explain
The thought process
is. Yeah, why the thought process can be so problematic. But when he put it into terms of, you know, the tribalism behind it, I thought that it makes a lot more sense that way, because when you're going to do anything, you know, you have people's whose opinions you should value and those who you shouldn't.
Right.
So, you know, that was the whole controversial part with that courage bit. I felt like there was a lot to take from it. I think he went a little too hard. Mm-hmm. In the book, he talks a lot about how, you know, the taking aspect, and how, you know, when you apply that as your permanent mindset, then you don't burden yourself with the ramifications of others. Yes, but I do think that there was no place in the book for other moral codes.
Yeah.
You know, like something to do with religion or godliness in the sense of like a Christian, you know, setting.
How do you feel about, I'm sorry if you hear some people in the background, just some motherfuckers just outside.
It's a garage podcast. The
garage
baby.
Podcast. We just saw a live possum walk by too, if y'all.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to keep it together.
He was trying to learn about the art of man. Hey. But, I was going to say, when someone like only kind of like the taking of stuff, like you said, like people, like he emphasized the taking of things. I think that it's very important because of, like, I think about it, me personally, as in my job, like, if I want to get like a raise or something, like you have to you have to take it, like you have to
because it's a perfect example,
right?
Yeah.
A lot of people feel definitely, you know, scared of like the repercussions, but he's pretty much just like,
well, that's what he talks about with the establishing the tribe,
right?
In the book, he uses the them and us kind of thing, very confrontational language again, but he talks about how the them, you know, you have to establish who's the us and who's the them,
right?
Because if you're someone who establishes the us, it's all your coworkers and your boss.
Right.
Then you're going to treat them as you would your tribe.
Right.
And maybe you shouldn't be treating them as your tribe.
Right.
Because they're not actually a member of your tribe. It's the same thing to deal with, you know, making friends that are beneficial in a mutual sense and all that too.
Right.
So when he talks about the taking, that's directly what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Is because when you have, when you establish who is in your tribe, you do not take from your tribe. You only contribute to your tribe. And you hold each other up, and you expect each other to do the same. And when there's someone who takes too much from your tribe, that's when it becomes problematic. So when you establish that maybe not even your own country, or maybe not your coworkers, maybe not your family, depending how you grew up, or maybe your family is,
right,
who is in or not in your tribe will establish who you're taking from.
Right.
Which, again, it's confrontational language.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a radical thought to promote taking,
right,
you know, and not humility in today's world. But you tell me if people do that or not.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like you said, you got to ask for that raise.
You got to ask for that raise.
And you have to make those decisions. You're not abandoning your tribe if you get a better pay somewhere else.
Right.
Maybe your boss will see it that way.
Right.
But that's not truly what it is, because you have to look out for you and your tribe.
Well, then the next question goes into why, how do you find people that's supposed to be in your tribe?
So that's what those virtues, the tactical virtues, as he says, the strength, honor, courage. And mastery. We haven't touched on mastery yet,
right.
But those are your rubric for grading
people,
men. In this book, of course, it's just men.
Right.
Women, the relationship with women isn't really established. This is all about manhood in the sense that manhood is usually based in principle on men gauging themselves based on other men.
Right.
In their life.
Right.
And establishing, you know, value that way. So, you know, when you put these things together, you'd want friends that are strong with you, you know, that are courageous and would rise to your aid when you need it.
Right.
And honor, you know, that you have a code of honor. Mm-hmm. It may be different for other people, mm-hmm. you know, based on what you believe, but mm-hmm. your honor code is important because it has to do with respect.
Right.
And the strength too, it's all respect. It's you know, it's kind of like a pecking order that you establish using these virtues.
Right.
So
if you want to move on to mastery, because I think we should tie that up right.
So we could talk about it as a whole. Right. Mastery, I found,
that's my favorite part of it, because this is absolutely true. If all your friends do the same shit, they whack.
Yeah, it's really applicable, and I think it's something that a lot of people can learn from today. Because it invites a lot of new things in your life too, I think. And it's something that, you know, I practice with my friends and that, you know, like Brandon and Samir and that. And that's that mastery is the recognition for, because he goes back to strength. And he talks about how strength is a skill that can be mastered, of course, and right. use the application of strength. But strength is in everything.
Right.
That's not what this world is. We're intelligent creatures. And to handle our problems, you know, he uses examples of, you know, who's going to build the fire? Right. Who's going to build the house?
Right.
Who's going to build the fence?
Right.
Who's going to, you know, butcher the hunt? Because, again, we're talking primitively.
Yeah.
And when you apply that to modern life, that's when you have a friend group, you learn who is the master of what.
Right.
And you use that to benefit your tribe.
Right.
And, of course, you know, part of it is, you know, your contributions to the tie. To the tribe are reflected in the other members, of course, you should instinctually expect already. Mm. It's just fairness. So maybe you have a friend who is, he's good at math, good right. at budgeting or something.
Right.
And it could be something as minor as you go on a trip and they do all
the
budgeting and everything. Right. right. But you are the guy who knows how to drive a trailer. Or maybe you're the guy who knows how to pitch a tent and maybe he doesn't.
Right.
Or maybe you know more about where you should be going, so you make your suggestions based on that, or you're make the executive decision on that.
Right.
But you don't, you establish lanes in which everyone, you know, consensus is pursued.
Right.
Of course, but some of the more executive decisions are made by members who are a master in what they do.
Right.
So this is shown, you know, of course, it's mirrored in a lot of things in life, like a business.
Right.
You know, you have chief financial officers uh-huh. and CEOs, executive officers, and all these people that have their positions. Uh-huh. And there's a pecking order with the leader. We right. almost always need some kind of face of something.
Right.
And the decisions are made that way. More right. loosely in a company, you know, of course. But yeah. we can't help as humans to establish this ranking system,
right?
Because that is the way that we formulate instinctually,
yes. right?
So mastery kind of ties them in, because mastery has to do with all those subjects put together, other than honor. Honor yeah. is just a baseline.
Yeah.
That's a moral code almost, and how that changes, you know, from region to region, of course. So,
right.
you know, there's some places where it'd be dishonorable to be alone with another man's wife, maybe.
Right.
But there's other places where, you know, you may feel honor bound to take your fellow member of your tribe or your friend or whatever, mm-hmm. take their wife to the grocery store while their car's getting worked on. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whatever the example whatever is. It is. The point is that in the tribal sense, there's a lot of creation established by the members.
Right.
It's not a moral code that's given to you by a book. And I'm thinking that's why he didn't include any religious materials, because it's supposed to be a more objective baseline standpoint.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, because it's based in anthropology,
right.
essentially, what was studied from humans of the past.
Fast.
And
yeah.
and he makes a lot of correlations about, you know, through cultures, these things are found or replicated over and over again. Mm. And so then he talks about, well, I'm telling you all this, right? So what do you do?
Right.
With this information.
What do we do with the information?
And that was the part I was waiting for, because, of course, this is, we're like, what? We're maybe 2 hours in at this
right,
point.
Right.
You know, this is on the fifth chapter. Mm. And he kind of sneers at a lot of other common, you know, things that men do today, which is where it gets a little iffy. Like, he talks about, you know, being more open-armed with the people you invite into your life and not necessarily holding them to that code immediately and
right.
and things like that, and being soft. And but ultimately, he explains that perhaps that's to the detriment of your own tribe.
All right.
And that's the thing that we see all the time, you know, when you keep a friend around that shouldn't be around. And
we've experienced a lot of those.
Yeah, all the time.
All
you
the
know?
Time.
And that's why the circle stays small, and because
right.
you have those that you trust that meet your honor system,
right.
that show mastery and the skills that they're that they know. They show courage and strength in the face of adversity.
Right.
And those are the people that you end up valuing. And the baseline for those traits, of course, too, will change between tribes. You know, you can have a tribe of pacifists.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean that they won't be a good tribe either, though.
Yeah.
So all that is by judgment of the tribe. Which, so to say, again, like, to wrap it all together, they the way it matters for you is more so in the pursuit of the lifestyle you live socially.
Right.
And not rejecting that lifestyle socially because that is to your own detriment, is his belief. And I do believe that is true.
Okay.
You can't go through this world alone. Like we established earlier, you know, John Wick needed help. And that's true. But I do think that his criteria is biased.
Uh-huh.
Because not everyone has these options set forth. And there's a lot of work that some people need to do on their own
right.
beforehand. But once you, you know, kind of learn what your value system is in that and keeping your ears and your eyes open to those characteristics in other people and being willing to socialize with others
right.
to establish that tribe,
mm-hmm.
I could see that being a really powerful tool. You know, I don't think it's so much, it's a personal journey, but once you're there,
mm-hmm.
like, to accept these ideas,
right.
Which I think that we kind of already do, already whether
do.
We liked it or not,
right.
we kind of were there already.
Right.
Once you accept these ideas, the pursuit of the tribe is actually could be very crucial to your life in the way he explains it. Because when you establish who your tribe is, now you have a direct channel in which to send all of your efforts, you know, your surplus
right.
time,
right.
surplus value.
Right.
And when you tighten that ship up like that,
right.
now everything should be smoother
yeah.
and you will all be stronger.
Right.
And I thought that that was a really interesting thing because
right.
I kept seeing a lot of things as a personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it as, you know, maybe not in trying to burden myself with certain responsibilities in that, but rather aid others in theirs and expect others to aid me in mine
right.
and kind of work together to solve our problems in a more communal sense
right.
could actually be very beneficial.
Right.
You know, whatever these problems may be, of course, due to mastery, there may be a problem only you can solve.
Right.
But
there's still somewhere that another person can come in
and be willing to call upon them.
Yeah.
And also, you know, due to your honor, be willing to repay them.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
You know, and strengthening those bonds.
Right.
Because, of course, you know, that's something a lot of people don't want to do is burden their friends and people that are close to them with their problems.
Right.
But there's a way to do it.
Right.
Where it's beneficial for both of you.
Right.
And I think that working together like that and establishing that is kind of an old idea that maybe not everyone embraces, but it's definitely beneficial. So I thought that that was really inspiring in the sense of how that was built. The book proceeds to go into other chapters, more societal, societally? I don't know
societally.
How you explain it. Like, it's related yeah. to just societies
yeah.
and our societies
right.
American man who wrote the book, so he uses that as an example, and more so talking about this is more on like a personal masculine level
yeah.
about the demasculization of men
in today's society right.
and about how, and this is where we get touchy
yeah,
like, frankly,
that's what we're here for,
because I've shared what brought me to this book
right.
and what I found influential and what I found true.
Right.
So I do find the tactical virtues to be true.
Right.
And I do think that you know, anyone who's listening to this should give it a taste. Just see what you think.
Right.
But this next portion gets a little crazy because now we're going to talk about maybe his most biased portion of the book, that is it relates to you know, society, and now more of the interaction between the genders, and more the difference between primitive and modern society,
right?
And why I'm gonna try to do this as concisely as possible,
or don't, because it's modern day philosophy. So
I mean, we're gonna be all over the place, right? But I'm gonna try to keep it, you know, in a comprehensive, you know.
Yeah, we get you, buddy. Us on this podcast, we all get you. The fans get you.
I hope so. don't cancel me. So you've established your code. You've established, you know, your people rubric
in your code
for your tribe, and you're building your tribe. What does that mean in a societal sense? Well, to Jack Donovan, that means you are now in your tribe. Your values of your tribe are above all else.
Right.
Hence the taking and the fighting and the willingness to fight for that.
Okay.
And you must reject, because you already are by doing this, other values of your society.
All right.
So this is where it gets kind of crazy, because now he's talking about almost like a political, like separate, like separatist movement in a sense, where it starts to get kind of radical sounding. But this also is touched on more in his second book, which I also read.
All right.
So I'll try not to bleed the lines too much, but frankly, the second book is more of a continuation of the first book, if anything. But the general idea is that you establish your tribe, you're now separate from society in your pursuit of your goals.
Right.
You no longer feel compelled to aid others outside of your tribe.
Right.
You know, unless it has benefit to your tribe. So you know somebody that needs help, you help them out because you're expecting them to help you.
Right.
This is very counterculture, of course, because, you know, most people at least are taught to be, you know, good Samaritans. And, you know, help people out and, you know, be humble.
You know, I don't think it's that counter. I think people, like you say, primitively, I think they're more that way than they'd like to admit.
Yeah, instinctually, right? Because, I mean, most of the things that will teach you to not be that way will be like holy books and different schools of thought that are very modern. And he talks about how the whole point of embracing this is because you do not fit that mold.
Right.
As a human man, you have a brain that is orientated a certain way to establish your structures and to try to pursue these other structures of, you know, like part of it is kind of, he gets a little, like I said, he starts sneering a little bit.
Right.
But he starts talking about, you know, some of the more feminist movements having to do with masculinity.
Right.
And, you know, not being as bold and being more tempered and cautionary in your approach to things.
Okay.
And he talks about how that's detrimental because that is hindering your courage and strength, and how that's why you see men, they need an outlet.
Right.
And he talks about how war was a big part of that.
Right.
To build up those bonds and everything. Because if you're not fighting in your tribe, and fighting is, you know, there's always going to be conflict. And we always find a pseudo conflict to pursue, whether that be sports, whether that be aggressive business, whether that be, you know, forming a gang and fighting over territory.
Right.
That's why they do these things.
It's innate.
And so they talk about it being toxic masculinity, which it's toxic.
Right.
And it's masculinity. But his point is that it's masculine.
Right.
And it's masculine because it is evolutionarily masculine.
Right.
And that the fact that our society is as big as it is and as structured as it is, and frankly, as peaceful as it is.
Facts.
The reason why we see the world like that is because we no longer have a them and us. It's the globalization of all of our cultures and everything. Right,
becoming a big one.
Has came to the detriment of masculinity because it comes to the detriment of tribalism and establishing boundaries and being more confrontational. So this is very counterculture, because this is like saying, he's basically saying, you know, world peace is a fraud.
Right.
And that you actually don't want it.
Right.
Because it gives you nothing to do.
That's kind of powerful.
And that makes, in a way, because when you play on the psychology of men, if there's anything that gives any kind of, you know, personal satisfaction or growth.
Yep.
Or confidence.
Right.
or, you know, anything like that for a man, it usually comes at the detriment of another man.
Right. You're completely right.
And that's the part that no one wants to admit anymore, because it's dirty.
Right.
It is dirty. But this is where it starts to play into what I believe. And I believe that humans are dirty.
Right.
That's what I think personally. People do a lot of underhanded stuff.
Right.
We're not the best team players. You pick favorites.
Right.
And we're all hypocrites.
Right.
We're unfair. You know, we're flawed, right, even while knowing that we're flawed. Right. All these things that are like dirty parts of humanity. But his argument is that some of those things are there, mm-hmm, to protect you, mm-hmm, and they've protected you for thousands of years. And just because your society built up in the past 200,
yeah,
or I mean, you really could say a couple hundred more than that, but I mean, they were doing tribes and wars over territory, yeah, and over race and over anything they could find different about each other for thousands of years,
right,
up until the very modern age, you know, with the establishment of maybe like post-Cold War, you mm-hmm know, really that recent, you can really say there's stuff going on with Russia now and all that, and there's always something, mm, but it's not like it used to be.
Right, and definitely not.
There's no more demonization so much, and we have all this access to information that humanizes everybody.
Right.
That it leaves us confused, but you still don't have a them.
Right.
And you don't know who your us is.
Right.
So he talks about how that comes to the detriment of masculinity, because when you try to establish these ideas, now the men have no outlet. So what do they do when they don't have an outlet? Well, they get depressed, or they make bad decisions. Maybe they get on drugs.
Right.
Or maybe they buy a motorcycle. Like one of the jokes he said, which got to me, I thought was funny, he says, they buy a motorcycle and weave through traffic real fast. You know, or they pick fights.
Right.
And there was a philosopher, I don't remember if it was, who was the man that had the cabin in the woods? Is it a...
Oh, my gosh. He's the guy that inspired Christopher McCandless.
Yeah.
Famous
real philosopher, famous poet.
Sorry, Mr. Rigo, if you're out there. Oh, my gosh. I know who it is, but it's the person who inspired... Oh, Thoreau.
His name's Henry Thoreau. It's crazy, either someone who is inspired by Thoreau or is Thoreau himself. I think he references a writing of his that was also studied and revered by a politician in America at one point.
Right.
And it was to talk about that men... This is the crazy... Another crazy one. Men need war.
I agree with 100%. Something. Right.
And so they talk about that maybe... You know, talking about Trudeau's, you know, the way that he found his peace was by going into the woods on his own and all that. And essentially, he chose to go to war with nature.
Right.
And so they talked about, well, what if man could go to war with nature? Because now we no longer need to fight each other.
Right.
I mean, think about the fact that the way all of our art is structured, all of our movies and stuff, they always is a protagonist and an antagonist. Otherwise, you are unconcerned.
You're right, 100%.
And frankly, one of the points he makes is, you know, the more feminine appeal that something has usually has more so to do with, like, the raising or cooperation or things like that. Of course, they still have the same human drive for conflict.
Yeah.
But men are the ones seeing the action movies.
Right. That's true.
You know?
Well, I'd even say with
and the anti-heroes.
Right.
That's another big point.
Right.
Is that's why people like anti-heroes.
Like Batman.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Batman's part of it.
Right.
But even a greater one would be like, you know, Scarface. Scarface is a piece of shit.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, 100%.
And you judge his character on a moral scale, he is a piece of shit. You would never want to be friends
with
this
Tony.
Guy. Yeah. Yeah. But as a man...
That's a manly man.
That's a manly man.
Wow.
And he gets things done, and he gets what he wants.
Right.
And whoever he chose to be a part of his tribe saw it through to the end,
right,
and they were all eaten.
Right.
Of course, it came to a downfall due to some of his own
decisions.
You know, decisions.
Right.
And that's another thing that's even hinted at, is that he chose to extend his empathy to someone who was no longer not in his tribe.
Right.
He had a moral code.
Right.
And he talked about it. You know, in the movie, it's because he chose not to kill a man with his children.
Yeah.
That was his downfall.
Right.
And so, and that's common with a lot of anti-heroes, is the show of morality can actually bring you down.
Yeah.
And that's why he claims a rejection of care to anyone who's not a part of your tribe.
Wow. And, you know, what's crazy about that is when I think about like, my favorite movies, none of them shit's peaceful.
Yeah.
At all.
Like, yeah, of course. Even if it's not an action movie or a war movie, there's conflict. Plenty of conflict.
A lot of adversity.
Adversity is a common human thing, of course. But, but to find adversity with, you know, again, at the detriment of others. I mean, how many guys like Wolf of Wall Street?
That's my favorite movie.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm bringing it up. You know, how many people love that movie? That guy's a piece of shit.
He sold them penny stocks.
He screwed so many people, but you're rooting for him all the way to the end, aren't you? Because you see yourself in him.
Right.
when you start to do that, and he has his own tribe too.
Yeah, his homies that he was with.
Yeah, they all have the same values.
Right.
And they check each other on the same scale.
Right.
You know, that's his whole point, essentially, in the book. To make it very simple. Of course, in his sense is, you know, the them and us. That's why you see it with criminals so much. Mm-hmm. Is because the rejection of the larger whole of your community is sometimes better for your tribe. Because he talks about not donating to charities and stuff that are for some far off country that you're never going to go to.
Right.
Because it doesn't, that like, you don't owe them anything and they'll never owe you anything. So you should keep that money for your tribe. Because then it makes everyone else around you better and stronger.
All right.
And you should always think that way and be open to it. You know, open to aid from others and open to giving aid to them.
Mm.
So.
How? I don't know who that girl was.
Yeah.
But personally, so.
Garage podcast.
Right, man. You don't know what you're going to see. But, man, this car driving kind of slow. You finna get shot up, y'all.
No.
Oh, we finna shoot up. Ooh. Them versus us. Them versus us. Well, it's funny, too, because I think that's like apart from like what the book was saying, that is a, shout out to Miss Soriana, that is a conflict that people write in books, like the me versus us. So you remember reading that in English? Like the me versus them or and like, I mean, obviously, if you need it in books for it to make it a good book, then it's kind of needed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, hearing you speak about it, because we've spoken about it on the phone, but hearing you speak about it thoroughly now makes it a lot more clear to me. And I don't know, that might be, I mean, you know, you pick the parts that you want to take and you pick the parts that you don't want to.
Of course, yeah. So I would like to reiterate, I am cherry picking ideas that I find beneficial.
Right.
There's other ideas he touches on that I don't
that agree definitely with. Weren't
like, again, I would invite you to give the book a listen or a read, just because I do think that there's lessons to be learned. But I do think that and you know, that's something that not a lot of people are open to as much anymore.
Right.
Maybe I'm projecting, but it's been my opinion that when something's been established as dirty, a lot of folks will refrain from even giving it an exploration.
Right.
But I think that it is better for the health of the integrity of your mind to do that. Because to try to, you know, like have a conflict internally with what is moral and what is right is something that you should do on your own.
Right.
I don't think you should always count on other people to tell you what's right and wrong.
Right.
And that's kind of what I do in this book, because if I went on what he said, I'd be coming out here, you know, robbing people in the street or whatever. Right. If I took it totally to heart, maybe that's a little shot at Jack, but I mean, honestly,
we're trying to get sponsored, dog.
he was a little out there with the level of it, and I do think that there was a degree of humility that is necessary to keep,
right?
You know, so that you don't become too greedy in that. I do think that there's things that, you know, he is rejecting from holy books and that I can't do without,
right?
You know, the ideas of charity and that, and just being morally obligated to lift up your fellow man, regardless of their tribe, I do think is applicable nowadays. It's not the world in which we live.
Right.
He does put it in the second book into better context about when that is applicable or not.
Because
I think he realized that it wasn't as thoroughly established in the first book.
Okay.
But the, you know, the moral compass that he gives that's so open is, I find too simplistic, which was, again, the point of reading this book was for the simplicity, but you got to get to the nuanced stuff eventually. You're going to be asking yourself questions by the end of this book for sure.
Right. So after in the book, how does the new Casper come out of the gates?
So in terms of application, I think that I saw it as an invitation to be more social and to pursue more social relationships,
mm-hmm.
but also to try to remember, you know, that curriculum he had.
Right.
Because after seeing that my life is already mirroring that,
mm-hmm.
Without my knowledge of it, maybe if I pursue it directly,
right,
it'll be even more effective.
Right.
And I will be able to establish bonds and build a tribe, as he would say, or a gang. He likes to use the term gang, but
right.
tribe makes more sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be aid in like a more beneficial relation with myself,
right.
and with my peers,
right.
or who I choose to make my peers. Because I feel like that's something that a lot of people miss out on today, is when you're not seeking that confrontation,
right.
or that bonding, it goes hand in hand. There's, you know, and even competition within those that you are bonded with.
Right.
You don't get to learn as much about yourself. Right. So now you're unsure of yourself.
Mm.
So I think that the men that are challenged earlier on in life,
right.
hence why I think a lot of people who had it hard are very successful.
Right.
They learn to gauge their worth better.
Right.
And so in pursuit of confrontation and conflict and all these harder decisions, and also the bonding and competition with other men of what you would gauge as similar caliber to yourself, maybe, you know, you will find yourself more equipped, more, at least mentally, you right. know, confident right. in what your abilities would be.
Wow.
So that's my original assessment of it. I mean, of course, there's a lot of functional right. benefits to thinking that way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, saving your money for the people that need it in your life.
Right.
And keeping those around you in check
uh-huh.
so that no one, because I mean, it's all beneficial for each other if you guys right. keep each other in check.
Right.
You know, and being more strong about that is something that a lot of people aren't so much with.
Right.
There's a lot of rejection of social interaction with new friends.
Right.
And maybe, you know, if you push it a little more, you might actually turning up the heat, you know, to like kind of calcify the character of that person rather than just let them go on and do what they're going to do.
Right.
So you provide these rubrics up front, like for what, you know, how, what kind of strength are we looking for? You know, what kind of character are we expecting out of somebody? What do you fit my honor system? Do right. I find you to be honorable based on my rubric?
Right.
And, you know, really trying to hold that up, you know, and grade it right. as you go through these interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And not just shying away from it just because it's hard kind of thing.
Right.
You know? And then in terms of yourself, it's pursuing these goals, these virtues.
Right.
Really to no end, of course, just trying to be more honorable, trying to be stronger, trying to be more courageous, and perfecting whatever your mastery is. You know, whatever you're seeking to make your trade, your whatever you're educated in, your expertise,
right.
just pursuing that to make yourself a more valuable person. So again, this is all shit that you've heard somewhere else.
Right, 100%.
I know you've heard it somewhere
else. Well, definitely me.
But I think that this book just kind of laid it out in such a basic sense that you can build on it yourself. So that's what I enjoyed about it. I like the framework because other people's frameworks are too well established and you don't fit.
Yeah.
It's built for them.
Right.
This one just gave you the foundation and now you build it to size. You know?
That is... God dang. He was clapping for you, yeah, dog. Damn.
I got an applause for his cricket. I told you, it's a live studio audience. That possum coming back? What's going
for
on?
For real, bro. He gonna come up with the gang.
Yeah, I know. He gonna start popping him out the pouch, man.
Bro, I think that's... Hearing you speak about that, like, definitely, it inspired me. Sorry, ladies. Again. But, in a sense, too, I guess you guys can kind of break it down to whatever you guys feel is fit to you. But, another way that I'm thinking about it, too, is, like, even when, in a smaller sense, when, let's say, someone has a favorite artist, like, I know that me, like, I, of course, Kanye's my dude, right? And then, if I knew someone else was a Kanye fan, we immediately have that bond against, like, everyone else. Like, someone asked me about someone, another person, and I knew that other person was a Kanye
fan. Yeah, like-mindedness is right. An unspoken truth about right. That, too. You gotta have that.
Right.
You know?
So, just... I think I'm going to focus a lot more on the... I mean, I try... We do it as much as possible. But like you said, doubling down in a group. And just...
It's facing the world as a tribe.
Right.
Because rather than as an individual.
When you go in as an individual, I feel like people get this... That's where the depression starts kicking in.
Because you're now like, it's the world. Versus it's you. Against the world. Right. Yeah.
And you're way too small to... have really any effect, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you need, once you're in that group, you feel like you can conquer more. Julius Caesar did not conquer all of Macedonia. No, it's not Macedonia. What do you do, Rome? Mm-hmm. Alexander the Great did Macedonia.
Yeah.
And then Julius Caesar did Rome. But they all didn't do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. They had a whole group of people. So I think, I'm really going to focus in on that. For real. And like whatever I get and I can pass to my gang, I'm gonna pass to my gang, and that's just it. Like, I'm just gonna tap in and continue holding everyone accountable and try to grow. And
I'd like to point out real quick too,
go ahead.
Before it escapes me, but this is, I'm picking from a portion of this book.
Right.
What we talked about is in more of the broader sense of the structures he was putting forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my personal opinion. Again, I invite you to listen to this book or read this book. You will not like all of it, probably.
Right.
But I'm not expecting you to, and it's not my book. Don't come at me if you don't like it. I just think that, you know, one of the goals of this podcast, at least from its conception, was that you should be willing to look and receive information from any direction.
Anywhere.
And try to strengthen your own intellect right. And critical thinking right. And being able to decipher that information.
100%.
You don't want to just be ears. You have right. A mind between them, and you want to use it.
Right.
So, this is not necessarily a summary.
Right.
This is more so, it's kind of a review.
Kind of a little book review.
Kind of a book review.
Right.
But also, again, like a philosophical opinion.
Right.
Coming from myself.
And, all right. Again, like you said, adding on to yours, the whole point of the podcast is that you're allowed to get information from anywhere. That means I don't care if Adolf Hitler said it, if it helps you become a better speaker in life. Everything is
about... if you want to study the way Hitler gave speeches,
right.
Because it make you be better at giving speeches,
right.
More power to you.
Right.
That's also where I find myself. It doesn't matter where
it comes from.
Positive, useful information comes from. If right. You can apply it,
right.
You should apply it if right. It makes you a better person.
You still have responsibility over your own actions. So, do you have anything else to add? Because I think that's gorgeous.
Well, I do think, depending on the feedback we get, we can touch on this again in a more organized sense if right. People are interested.
Because right.
There's still two other books I haven't even,
added
to this conversation.
Right.
Or if they have, whatever feedback we get. If we get any kind of questions, we can touch on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple other podcast ideas in the works that we could get to more immediately.
Right.
And then... you know, depending on the feedback this gets, or something that we've thought about is something a little more open to the viewer.
Right.
So we're still working on that. But other than that, this is just a little quick podcast as a welcome back.
Welcome back.
You know, something interesting to talk about. We don't have any crazy political stuff we want to get into.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Obviously, wait, before.
You want to?
Before I... And before we cut this off, I want to give my support. Obviously, it's about the Art of Men, but still give my
in
support.
Contrast.
Yeah, in contrast
to the subject matter.
You give our support to women. Like we said, there's no room for a person, at least in my eyes, there's no room to be on a fence. You kind of have to have your morals, and your morals you can't be idle. So,
of course, this is in regard to the overturning of
Roe v. Wade. Right. Yeah. So, obviously, we stand with women. You should have control of your body. I don't see a lot of guys speaking on it and all that other stuff, but shoot, I'm gonna speak on it. Whatever girls want to do with their body, that's fine with me, man. We love women out here. I'm also gonna be, I don't know if I should add this in, but I'm also dropping a shirt to giving support. I'm also donating some of the profits to charity. So,
can visit the website if you're curious. Right.
That would be Evie Apparel, 951.bigcartel.com.
Correct.
And just come out and support. I mean, you know, our whole thing is just to try to. After hearing that what you said, bro, it's not even about making the world a better place. It's about making our tribe better in the sense of growing it and getting more people into our tribe that we trust until we start taking over like Julius Caesar. Right.
We got our motives here, right. You know, but it's all just for the sake of benefiting others.
Right.
And just through the thought process that we all share and being open right. to exploring new ones.
Right.
And, you know, we were thinking of doing a podcast on that subject, but we didn't find ourselves well-versed enough. And,
right.
you know, you can let us know what you guys think, but we might do one and maybe have a female guest on as a more, you know, I feel, you know,
yeah,
definitely. Not going to sit here and mansplain
Roe
v. Wade yeah, to you, you know what not I mean?
Yeah, right.
Come yeah. on, let's do it the right way.
Right. You have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, well, man, welcome back. You know, we closing the curtains, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, closing the garage door. Gotta get these crickets out of here. You know, they're sweeping in the back row by the curb right now.
My homie the janitor came through.
Yeah.
What's up? What's up, Jose?
The stray cat.
Right.
Oh. Pretty good at his job.
Right. Right. Leaving up shits around. Oh. Oh, yeah. Anyway. All right, y'all. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed. Stay tuned because I'll be doing my own single ones on here. And whenever Kaz is here, you know he's going to hop on. So God bless y'all. See you next time. Let's get it.